Okay, call to order our regular Stanton City Council meeting for February the 28th. If you'll please all rise. Ann, would you lead us in the pledge, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Council Agency Authority Member Taylor.
Here.
Council Agency Authority Member Torres.
Here.
Council Agency Authority Member Warren.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chairperson Van.
Here.
And Mayor Chairman Shaver.
Thank you. We have a special presentation tonight from the Santa Sirene Group, who are going to come up and give us a review of the event and update. Come on, ladies.
And before you, we have Ms. Ann Nguyen and Ms. Pam Schoonover.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, Mayor Shaver and City Council members. Everybody. Thank you for letting us be here tonight. We wanted, first of all, to express our deep gratitude to the City of Stanton for sponsoring our event this year. It's been a long time that we have been doing this event. I want to say 23 years. And if you have been in the city a long time, you would know of Jim Nelson. And Jim was the founder of the Youth Assistance Foundation, lived in the community, worked in the community, and loved this community. We always do this in honor of Jim, and Jim saw this community of immigrants and people that he loved and wanted to serve. And so whenever thank you for letting us share. So up here, we just have a quick few slides just to let you know about our Santa Siren Express on December the 18th. No one can do this work or do anything, I think, in a community. It really does take a village, and so we are deeply grateful for the sponsorship of the city and for following organizations that helped us. And I'm sorry if I have them out of order or if I mispronounce any. So CRNR is has been a big support to us. They provide the driver, the truck, the storage center, and Santa. So, yeah, so we're very grateful for them. The County Fire Authority, the Care Ambulance, Tom Carpenter and Rodeo 39, Stanton Lions Club, Orange County Sheriff's Department, Best and Krager, Titans Aces are a group of after-school staff who come out of Cal State Fullerton and come and help us every year, Boys and Girls Club of Stanton, and community services staff and local volunteers. Fire guys, air ambulance, and then just at one of the families outside. And you see the truck that we used, and one of the guys who works at CRNR every year, he decorates our truck and says, Santa loves Stanton. These are the stops we made: West Creek Apartments, Harry Dotson Park, Zuniga Park, Tina Pacific Neighborhood, the Stanton Family Resource Center, and then the number of gifts that we gave out at each of the stops. It was a little under our normal, but I think, you never know each year, but I feel like there was such joy, and one of the sheriffs made the comment about Tina Pacific. The people in Tina Pacific were so excited. I mean, everyone's excited, right? They see Santa. But the people in Tina Pacific, there was something really special about the way they interacted with Santa and the way they interacted with the sheriffs. And yesterday, Officer Galindo spoke at the collaborative meeting in Stanton, and he made comment about Sanders Siren. He said that, you know, when he first came to work in Stanton, how he really found it difficult to go into some areas. But Sanders Siren, he and another sheriff always come for the event, that it really changed him. And now when he goes back to those neighborhoods, people say to him, oh, you come with Sanders Siren. So it's really cute. So he said, that's really building community. That's really what we're all about. Again, some more photos from different things. Sander with the kids. Sander with the boy in the center is from West Creek Apartments. He's a young adult who loves dinosaurs. Every year we see him, and every year he just comes and he wants to get a dinosaur. So it's the Vietnamese family. And then West Creek Apartments in Pacific and again, the sheriffs, you see them there with the kids. It's really good at Team Pacific neighborhood. What we do at the end of each neighborhood that we go to is we have an opportunity to give away 5 or 6 gift skateboards or whatever we get donated, bigger gifts that we can't give to every child. So we do an opportunity drawing, so it's always very exciting for families. And I said, Santa Sirens Express is always a party, right? It's just a way to build community. Again, so the Youth Assistance Foundation made a decision long ago, something positive for the children and youth in this community. It's been a successful endeavor for the partners who make it possible. This is not about giving a toy, but acknowledging that part of this community. And building community consists of acknowledging all those who make up. A toy for a child brings joy and reminds them that they are loved, valuable. A smile from Santa or volunteer. Thank you again. I have to mention Amanda Cruz from, that's like, Amanda every year says, are you doing Santa Siren? She is the first person always puts in some donations and every year, and she's so excited. Like, that's the kind of people, and that's it. You know, it doesn't have to be an organization. It really doesn't. And thank you so much. I just wanted to show you our banner that you were all mentioned on. So,
thank you. Thank you, guys.
Okay. Tonight, Mr. Townsend is logging for us in not Sacramento, he actually went to Washington, D.C. Lucky him. So we will not be getting that report tonight. Okay, consent item, everything on the calendar can be taken in one motion. We have to stay within our jurisdiction. But anybody want to pull anything?
Mr. We have none.
No correspondence?
No, sir, we have none.
Okay. Is there anything you guys like to pull? Is there a motion? Okay. Roll call.
Mayor, we have a motion by Councilmember Taylor, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Van. We'll now proceed with the roll call vote. Councilmember Torres?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Warren?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Van?
Yes.
And Mayor Shaver?
Yes, thank you. Okay, we have no public hearings tonight. Item 8A, unfinished business. This is again approval of ordinance 1127. Patricia?
Mr. Mayor, before you have approval of ordinance number 1127, this ordinance was introduced at the regular city council meeting of February 14, 2023. The city clerk, the recommended actions this evening is that I read the title of ordinance number 1127, entitled An Ordinance of the City Council of the City of Stanton, California, amending section 20.400.330 of the Stanton Municipal Code regarding accessory dwelling units and junior accessory dwelling units to ensure consistency with the state regulations. And the recommended action is that City Council adopt ordinance number 1127. That completes staff's report, and we are here to answer any other questions that you may have regarding this ordinance.
Okay, anybody have any questions? I think we thoroughly went through this. It's nice to see that that we pushed the limits on this particular ordinance, so I think we're as good as we're going to get on it. So is there a motion to approve 1127?
I'll make a motion.
Okay. Roll call, Madam Clerk.
Mayor, we have a motion by Councilmember Taylor, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Vance.
Torres.
Oh, excuse me, Councilmember Torres. I have it written here. And second by Mayor Pro Tem Vance. I will now proceed with the roll call vote. Councilmember Torres?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Warren?
Yep.
Mayor Pro Tem Vance?
Yes.
And Mayor Shaver?
Thank you.
Thank you. Item passes.
Nine, new business. This is authorization for council members to upcoming meetings or events.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and members of the Council. Pursuant to the City's travel and reimbursement policy, a council member must receive City Council approval prior to a trip if the trip will exceed $500. This evening, you will consider three requests for travel. Mayor Shaver has rescinded the request to attend the Public-Private Partnership Conference and Expo due to the short timeline between tonight's meeting and the actual start date of the conference. So we will review the three requests for the League of California Cities 2023 City Leaders Summit event. The webpage states that this is a unique advocacy and education event. During the event, city leaders will spend a full day meeting with legislators to discuss the most pertinent issues affecting their city and attend 2 days of in-depth educational sessions to explore local solutions to statewide problems. The costs presented on the screen before you and in the staff report include conference registration, hotel, flight, per diem, and transportation. The current fiscal year adopted operating budget includes $11,000 for council travel, conference, and meetings. To date, $6,785 has been expended, leaving a remaining balance of $4,215. Utilizing the highest estimates based on car rental and parking at the hotel, the fiscal impact of approving all requests is approximately $7,110. Utilizing the remaining balance of $4,215 would leave a funding gap of approximately $2,895. Council may wish to authorize staff to make a budget adjustment to cover the funding gap if all three requests are approved. This would then expend all available resources in the City Council travel conference meetings budget for the remainder of the fiscal year through June 30th, 2020. That concludes my presentation, and I'm available to answer any questions.
How did we come up with the $11,000?
That's all we've ever always had.
And have we always exceeded that in previous years, or is this kind of an exception?
No, we looked at it over the last, I actually recently asked that question trying to understand how council travel was budgeted. We have not exceeded it in previous years.
Okay. This will be the first year where it potentially
is. It costs a little more to go anywhere than it used to, I think. Maybe we could check that into that again. Also, you got to realize every other year it's down here, so we don't have to go up there. Any questions?
These are great meetings. I mean, I've been to a bunch of meetings in the past, and you really walk away with new insights and the best things to do for the city, so it's really well invested.
Usually only a couple of us go, but I'm going to be going because I'm vice president of the league right now. So I want, because if I get enough finagle money for us, I might do that. You guys can go run out. I get the money, you spend it. Is there a motion to authorize?
I'll make the motion to move it.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, roll call, Madam Clerk.
Confirming we have a motion by Councilmember Warren and a second by Councilmember Taylor. Is that correct? Okay, I will now proceed with the, actually a voice vote would suffice. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, item passes.
9B is going to approve the budget adjustments proposed for the mid-year budget update for fiscal year 22-23 and ratify the purchase from Continental Computers. Have we ever thought of other people in our city that need a computer that can buy them at this good rate? So that, I mean, I don't want the city to buy them, but have we ever see if somebody needs a new computer at home, to, stuff like that, to do city business and stuff?
Our staff?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. We have a computer loan program where staff can apply. We have a set amount of the budget where it's an interest-free loan that staff can apply for, and it is utilized.
Well, how about the fire and...
It does not extend to OCFA or OCSD. I don't know if they have their own programs for employees, and Chief Walters is shaking his head yes.
Are we employees?
Council?
Yeah, we actually we are because we get W-2.
Okay, so it just
anybody
says employees.
Updated computer for a good price? Until I've seen yours, you better get a new one.
Mine's brand new.
I know. Oh yeah, because it only broke down 16 times. I remember now. Okay, can you tell us a little bit about these computers and what's going on with them?
So this is actually, I can answer this before Michelle jumps into her mid-year budget. The company is called Continental Computers. This is actually the company that when Anaheim did their request for bids for the blue light camera extension into the city of Stanton, this was the lowest responsive bid. So they're actually where we're purchasing our blue light cameras from.
I looked into this today because one of the big culprits that is the most innocuous thing in their entire system. Guys use Express for their security, and so hopefully they're doing the most recent version that's taking care to denial of service attacks that are pretty popular right now. I think these guys are on top of the security, which I'm really happy about.
The good news is that Anaheim is hosting our campus, so they're not on our city service. We have access to all of the data and recordings, but they are actually being but with that, I'm going to ask Finance Director Michelle Bannigan to proceed with tonight's mid-year report.
Okay. So good evening, Mr. Mayor and members of the City Council. Tonight, this is our mid-year budget review report. The PowerPoint this evening will walk you through just the major points that were in the staff report and is intended to clarify for you some of the terms, discussion, and charts that are included within your report. Feel free to ask me any questions that if you see an exciting graph, you want me to stop and ponder a little bit longer, just let me know. So this is always fun. It is on, it doesn't like me. Thank you. So just an overview, we're going to start with where did we start when we adopted the 22-23 budget last spring. We're going to provide some recommended changes to the general fund, particularly to our revenue estimates and our appropriations. We're going to give you a snapshot of our general fund's fund balance, and then we're going to highlight some significant adjustments to other funds that we're requesting this evening. Just to remind the City Council, when we talk about the general fund, we are talking about two funds in the city, which is our main general fund, as well as our Measure GG transaction and use tax fund, which we track separately in our finance system for transparency purposes, but when we report to you as the general fund, we add those activities together. So we will start with an overview of the adopted budget. So when we adopted the budget last year, we anticipated that total general fund revenues would increase 1.5%. In that breakdown of the highest categories were 5% increase in our property tax revenue, a 2% increase in sales tax, a 6% increase in our Measure GG tax, and for the first time this year, we estimated we would receive cannabis tax revenue of $620,000. That was an estimate of one retail business and four cultivation businesses being open for the entirety of the fiscal year. As well, we had a 6% increase in our total general fund expenditures. So when the budget was adopted, revenues were exceeding expenditures in our estimates by $687,235 before the City Council considered some one-time expenditure requests from the general fund that staff asked for. Those one-time general fund expenditure requests included things like purchasing a new skip loader and appropriating a project called Greening Stanton to use some of those committed developer contributions from those large residential developments we've collected in the last few years. In total, those one-time expenditures totaled $442,340. So after funding our one-time expenditure requests, we still anticipated the general fund revenues would exceed our expenditures by $244,895. So now we're going to talk about, well, where are we at mid-year? How did that happen? Or where are we? Are we at our estimates? So in total, this chart kind of just shows our general fund revenues by our largest categories. Sales tax and Measure GG tax are the largest component of our general fund revenues, making up almost 40% of our total revenues. And in total, general fund revenues are exceeding our original adopted estimates by $549,190. So in our adjustments tonight, we are increasing our general fund revenues for 2223 to $29.9 million. So again, this chart shows the major categories. We're going to talk about sales tax and Measure GG tax next. So you'll see the trend for the last few years. And in the last column, there is a comparison between the red is our adopted budget and the blue is what our mid-year is. So we have exceedingly each mid-year been increasing our numbers from the adopted budget. So that's a good news story. The sales tax revenue we adopted for this fiscal year was $5.2 million. That estimate came from the city's consultant, HDL Inc., and they expected a 5% increase from our amended budget from fiscal year 21-22. In actuality, fiscal year 21-22 sales tax was $5.4 million. It exceeded what our mid-year adjustment was last year. So as a result, our consultant is anticipating increasing our sales tax estimate for 2023 to $5.5 million. That's an increase of $247,200. In comparison to last year's actual, it's just a 1% increase. It's just because we collected so much more in 21-22, primarily due to higher gas tax prices. And then on Measure GG revenue we adopted was $6.1 million. Due to online sales and purchasing automobiles outside of Stanton, city residents purchasing automobiles outside of Stanton, we anticipated a 6% increase in our Measure GG revenue when we adopted the budget last June. The actual Measure GG revenue last year was $6 million. Again, it exceeded our mid-year adjustment that we received from our sales tax consultant last February. So as a result, our consultants estimated that Measure GG revenue this year is going to be $6.1 million. It's a 2% increase from what we collected last fiscal year, but dollar-wise, it's $339,000 more than what we had in the adopted budget. And I want to just remind council that we still have the repayment of the economic development loan to Rodeo 39 Public Marketplace that we're using 50% of the sales tax and Measure GG tax that is being generated from that development to pay down the $2.2 million loan we gave to Rodeo 39 2 years ago. So these revenue increases are offset by general fund expenditure increases of approximately $75,000 to kind of show that we're getting this much more revenue, but we needed to use $75,000 of it to repay ourselves for the loan we gave to the developer 2 years ago. Next slide, please.
Is that interest?
It is not interest. It was just a flat amount.
It's not interest, right?
Correct.
Yeah, okay, just checking.
And just because sales tax and Measure GG revenue represents the largest generator of our general fund, I wanted to just show you what the drivers are that are causing the retail activity in our city. I have this sorted from the highest generating business types down to the lowest. The first two columns, you're comparing our city activity to the County of Orange activity. The most recent activity, the most recent information available is based on the year ended September 30th, 2022. This is kind of comparing activity between year over year for that period. So you will see that the highest swings are the fuel and service stations. That's because gas tax prices were just so outrageous. And if you look at the bottom, you will see that the industries in our city that are having the most either stabilizing, no change, where you start at the county and state pool of 0.9% decrease, which is pretty much consistent year over year, to food and drugs, that's our grocery stores, to autos and transportations, which is a decline, you'll kind of see what's making up the activity. And I wanted to just kind of set the stage for when we come back to you in 2 months to talk about next fiscal year. The last column talks about, as of the information we have from the consultants so far, what they're expecting these industries to do in the upcoming fiscal year. And you'll see a lot of stabilization in the various industries, reduction in fuel and service stations because HGL is anticipating that gas tax isn't, well, you've gone to the pump recently, it's around $5 a gallon. It's not to the $7 that we were paying last summer. So that's why it's showing fuel and service stations going down next year, 7.7%. And so the last cell on the bottom shows a negative 0.1% in total. So next year, HGL is expecting our Measure GG and sales tax to be flat next year. So just kind of remember that for when we come back to you in May. Yes, Mr. Mayor, did you have a question?
We're not banking on expectations on how we budget, right?
We do receive for our Measure GG and our sales tax, because of the volatility of this kind of revenue, we do rely on the experts in these revenue streams because they have the information for all California businesses and all the sales tax information that goes to the state from all these businesses. So for these two revenue categories, we have historically used and relied upon the revenue estimates that HGL has provided. And just in my short 3 years here, the actual results have been at or above HGL's estimates. So in my last 3 years at Stanton, while being using their numbers, they have been pretty conservative, in my opinion. Do you have any concerns?
Well, the fact is that if you're doing it over a five-year average with these, then I can see using those as a resource. But if you do them from year to year, I'm not sure how comfortable I would be with that.
Yeah.
I think HDL does take into account historical trends in the different sectors, and of course with COVID-19, which completely threw out any projections and normalcy. But we have to start our budget somewhere. So, and that's off obviously why we use the mid-year as an opportunity to come just take a status check of where we are. Whether we have a surplus or a deficit, we let the council know and we adjust at that time. I personally do prefer to be more conservative. I would rather return to the council at the mid-year, at the end of the year, after all the auditing is done, to say, hey, we have a surplus, rather than overpromise, overspend, and then come in with a deficit.
Yeah. Okay, maybe the next slide, Trish. So property tax revenue is the general fund's second revenue generator driver. It makes about 35% of our total revenues. And this is a little more steady of a trend line. When we adopted our budget for 22-23, staff estimated a 5% increase in our assessed valuation. The actual increase in the assessed valuation when the property tax rule came out last August was 6%. So we were closer on this one. Our assessed valuation increased from $3.5 billion to $3.7 billion. The increase in property tax revenue in tonight's staff report is $421,880, primarily most of that is related to redevelopment-related revenues that we get through our property tax from the state. For example, the residual redevelopment property tax revenues we get from the state. That has historically come in higher the last couple of years, and so far through January, we are trending higher. Transient occupancy tax revenues. Our adopted budget was $610,000, which assumed a modest 3% increase in our TOT revenue. Our actual TOT revenue in fiscal year 21-22 was $670,954. So it was more than what our adopted budget was. Some of that revenue did include some one-time revenue. We had some hotels that had penalties and late payments. So we don't expect to receive $670,000 this year, but we did increase revenues in our 22-23 mid-year by $40,000. So an increase to accommodate the additional revenue we received, but not to include the one-time revenue we received in 21-22 that we didn't receive. And we are not, you know, receiving any more Riviera Motel revenue, so we wanted to accommodate that as well. So that's why in this chart, TOT revenue almost looks like a decrease from 21-22. It's because 21-22 includes a full year of Riviera Motel revenue and some one-time penalty revenue. And then just highlighting a few other general fund revenue estimates that are in this staff report. So as you know, we are still working on getting those cannabis tax, those cannabis businesses open. I believe our first one will be opening in the next quarter. So we are reducing our cannabis tax revenue estimate down to $50,000. So it was $620,000 and it's being reduced down to $50,000. Our revenue estimates also included anticipating some organic waste revenue fee from CR&R, but that solid waste agreement hasn't been completed yet, so we're taking that new revenue out of the general fund this year. Some good news, the city received a 2020 state HUD grant from the LEAP grant program of $150,000. So in this staff report, you see us adding this revenue, and then there's also an appropriation for the same amount. There is no matching requirement for the Community and Economic Development Department to use for a project. And then lastly, we're reducing our general fund revenue for the North Orange County Collaborative. This amount represented 6 months of funding for the assistant to city manager position. But again, on the other side, on the general fund side, we're taking this reimbursement out, and on the expenditure side, we took the 100% of that position out of the general fund because the collaborative is funding 100% of those costs. We just took the revenue, and then on the other side, the expenditures out of the general fund, and it's being funded by the collaborative, which is outside of the city's general fund budget.
Michelle.
Yes, sir.
Back to solid waste impact.
Yes.
So that's a negative 90,000?
It is. The former public works director put in some new revenues from the solid waste solid waste agreement. But that agreement is still pending finalization. So at the mid-year, does it make sense to have this new revenue in there?
Well, let me point out, as you know, we're going to be required to either compost or buy gas, okay? And I was looking at just composting is a $90,000 a year. Maybe it's $110,000. Gas is maybe $250,000. So if you take a balance between those two, and we get CR&R, who has a digester in Paris, and we avoid all the pitfalls with the AQMD with composting, we could easily not have to worry about that $90,000 if we're not charged for that ability for them to provide that in the agreement. So that's just something I think we should take a look at.
And Mr. Mayor, these proposed $90,000 will be coming to us as soon as we adopt the contract with CR&R. It's just been delayed, so we'll recognize that as soon as that contract is adopted. If it happens to occur before June 30th, Michelle would then make that adjustment at the year end. Happens in the next fiscal fiscal year it'll be recorded. So it's not going away, it's just hasn't happened yet because, as you know, the subcommittee is still negotiating with CRM.
Is the, so that particular item though, is it in there that they will provide that to us? Has that been offered?
Yes, we have an offer with them to identify how they're going to help us meet all the requirements of the organics.
Okay, and then when does street sweeping with environmental NES end?
I would have to research that, the term
because
of the existing contract.
We had a commitment out of CRNR to do our street sweeping for free once the contract with NES expires. So I think we should revisit that.
Okay, we will look at that and respond back to follow up the council through the city manager.
That's about what we pay in street sweeping. Maybe we're probably up to 100 now, but that's what the low was recently.
Yeah, that does sound about right.
Okay.
We will respond back through Hannah and get you all that information about how much we're paying and when the contract expires. So that completes our overview of the general fund revenues. We're going to talk about general fund expenditures. As you can see, when we're comparing the adopted to the mid-year, the columns look almost identical. There's just not a lot of movement going on. The next chart will break it down. So in total, general fund expenditures are increasing $348,054 to $29.4 million. Attachment 8 of your staff report breaks down the adjustments in detail. This chart just kind of highlights the highlights. So our largest adjustments are increasing our city attorney's budget by $225,000. This is based on the trend of actual expenditures through their most recent billing, which I believe is January. The higher costs is related to public safety related and code enforcement costs related to those areas. So we need to do an increase there. The spending of the LEAP grant we talked about, so this is, you know, general fund neutral because we have the grant revenue offsetting this 150. Reducing the expenditures to shift the assistant to city manager position out of the general fund. The economic development loan repayment we already talked about. We need funding for an interim human resources manager that is scheduled to start next week, I believe. And this funding will go through mid-August. While our staff is on leave, and then minor adjustments making up the remaining $24,395. Before we talk about the general fund balance, are there any questions about any of these adjustment requests?
Just on the city attorney cost,
yes.
Can you tell me how
much that
is?
Oh,
I
don't. Yes, so these are primarily related to the increased efforts of the city to follow through on prosecution from the activities that the Orange County Sheriff's Department deputies are conducting in the field. So the council made a concerted effort this fiscal year to follow through with those because what was happening was our deputies were writing tickets and we weren't showing up in court to prosecute. So there was a disconnect between the activities and then that kind of became known. So this year we've been very active in the courts. We're working hard to figure out ways to be more cost efficient, working with the Orange County Sheriff's Department to have our court dates for all of the cases set on one day a week. So instead of going back and forth, we are working to make that as streamlined as possible and other strategies, but it is related to that increased activity in prosecution.
You know what might help with that is if BBK could give us a breakdown of successes. I know we spent
it. And I have that, so I'm happy to present that. No, it wasn't in the report, that was a recent, and so I do have that, and I'd be happy to show.
Yeah, because I think, there's also things that are not monetary. We make the city safer, that's number one. Number two, property destruction. Impact on our city staff, on what they have to do if we're not prosecuting, and the services that we have to deliver. And the fact that we can't deliver services sometimes with our public works department because they're doing other things related to this. So I think there's those abstract things that we should also take a look at. Thank you.
Okay.
One question, more question. Sorry. Can you go back to the previous slide, please? So it says here that the the repayment of the economic redevelopment loan, that's the rodeo 49
yes.
loan that we did, $75,000. Is that on track to repay the loan within, I believe we negotiated 8 years?
I believe, I can double check the term, I thought it was 10. But, yes. We are actually, I think 10 was very conservative because to date, already over $600,000 of that $2.2 million loan has been repaid. And again, sales tax and Measure GG information is like a quarter behind. So this was over $600,000with the revenues through September 30th of 2022. So, you know, we'll be getting the December 31, 2022 Rodeo 39 information from HDL in the next month or so. And then we use that information to take 50% of those numbers and reduce it. So it definitely is on track. Recession pending, how the recession's gonna impact, you know, the Rodeo 39 business to be repaid within the expectation of the agreement.
So if the trend continues as it's going now, how many years do you think it'll be until they pay off the whole 2.2 million? Oh, we do have some.
Yeah, within 5 years, the mayor is okay, correct, okay. Yeah.
There's other thoughts to that too, Alice. We wouldn't have $600,000 if we hadn't helped them get there. So I think it was money well spent. Just a comment, thank you.
And then another question regarding the TOT revenues. I know that we have three motels that we converted to Project Home Keys, and we can no longer expect TOT from those motels. However, we did increase the voters increased the TOT rate by a few percentage points a few years ago. How is it that we can anticipate the loss of the three motels in our projection for TOT, and is it still accurate?
Yeah, that's what's been interesting. The Motel 6 has had a lot, really high frequency, and one of the other motels in our city has had some really high occupancy the last few years. So I was anticipating, especially when we lost Stanton Inn, which was our number two revenue generator, that actually I was expecting TOT to start declining, even though we did have the 12% TOT rate, but that hasn't proven to be true. And the Riviera Motel is not a high generator, so it's going to be nominal.
Revenue that would have otherwise been lost prior to that.
Absolutely. We are getting quite a few from Hotwire and things like that. Our auditors, Gruber and Lopez, in their agreement that the council approved last June, does include doing a couple of TOT audits a year. We just completed our financial audit for 21-22, so they will be doing a couple of TOT audits for calendar year 2022. For a couple of audits that staff judgmentally picks, and so we can kind of see how that's going.
And if there are motels in the city that it accepts tenants longer than 30 days, is TOT collected on that, or are we keeping those places accountable if they're not providing TOT?
We're supposed to be keeping, go ahead, Mr. Wren. I don't want to steal your thunder.
I actually just texted the city manager some information on this that I will currently share with you. I don't think it has a major impact on the numbers, but our staff has worked to eliminate the long-term stays at the local motels, even if they do stay on site, by enforcing that rule and making them move to other rooms, it triggers the TOT. So that has been a push for us, and I think it has had some impact on that.
So we're collecting TOT on anyone regardless of how long they live in the motel. I guess
that is how the ordinance is written, and that's how it's supposed to be happening, and we will find out when our auditors do their two TOT. Okay.
And then are we collecting TOT on Airbnb stays? Regardless of whether or not it's legal.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
You go. Airbnbs are not allowed Anything that we've had on the Airbnb side, we feel that we've shut down in a matter of just a few stays. So I think we're pretty tight on that. Part of our typical protocols are to monitor all of the short-term rental sites, and that we don't, we have very, very limited activity in Stanton.
And then the LEAP grant for $150,000, was that used on the town specific plan, or what was that?
No, we have that ready to allocate, and we're looking at projects. It was originally envisioned to cover the beach specific plan, but that was prior to the Benoni developments happening. So they've already happened, and so it would be a little bit too late. But we have identified some other projects that community development has wanted to advance. I think one of the most important being objective design guidelines for the city of Stanton, which is something that most cities have, which provides structure, consistency, and standardization to the Planning Commission as they're reviewing projects. So most likely that's going to be the project that staff recommends as part of the fiscal year 23-24 budget workshop.
Thank you.
A comment on that. One city was so adamant about their black and gray design that the McDonald's had to be black and gray in the city.
You know, one of the things too is that I personally am not worried as much about the TOT for the two motels that we lost, because we are sparing about $200,000 a year in public safety costs for those motels. And I think those two motels did not generate anywhere near that amount of money. But the savings for us in our general fund for that is, you know, it's going to be pretty good.
Will we be getting an update regarding service calls to motels?
Happy to give you an update. Staff has been actively tracking that behind the scenes. I didn't realize that was regularly provided to the council, so we can certainly incorporate that in our next Orange County Sheriff's Department.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so let's see what these proposed adjustments do to our expected general funds fund balance. So just a reminder, when we talk about what the spendable fund balance is, so we're all talking about the same terminology. We have the uncommitted fund balance, which after these the impact of these adjustments is expected to be $10.8 million. We have the committed fund balance, which includes $13.9 million the council set aside when they adopted the reserve policy for fiscal year 22-23 last June with the budget. In addition, it includes $1.5 million that is committed through developer agreement resolutions that council approved for the public benefit fees, neighborhood preservation fees, and beautification fees that we have on hand. So our total spendable fund balance by the end of June is expected to be $26.2 million. The next chart is going to compare where these categories were when we adopted the budget last June and where these categories are with the mid-year, and shows the percentage of our general fund operating expenses that these amounts represent. So you'll see that the available fund balance, or what we're going to call the uncommitted fund balance, is 37% by June 30, 2023, after considering our mid-year adjustments, which is a improvement from the 32% from the adopted budget. And if we just take the total discretionary fund balance, based on the impact of the mid-year, we're still increasing from 23.1 million to 24.7 million, or 81% to improving to 85% of general fund operating expenditures. That is it for the general fund. Before I move on to any other funds, are there any more questions about the general fund? Okay, so we have a couple of significant adjustments in other funds I just wanted to highlight really quickly. They're in more detail in the staff report. A good news story is with our lighting and maintenance district, as a result of our LED conversions a few years ago, we finally received a rebate from Southern California Edison of $129,000. So that is going back, being reimbursed to the lighting and maintenance district, because it was a savings from our streetlight electricity costs. And we are improving the property tax projection for that fund by $227,000. It's consistent with the property tax adjustments we did in the general fund. We do have an appropriation request in our air quality improvement fund of $40,000. This will be a passenger van to be used by our public safety team to transport people to locations. In our ARPA fund, we do have an appropriation request of $241,785. Of this amount, $213,120 is related to the Boys and Girls Club Garden Grove contract. The council approved it back in May to increase the counseling hours that are being provided for mental health. But along with that, the appropriation never got appropriated. So we're kind of correcting that with this adjustment. And then lastly, we're appropriating $201,419 for the Family Resource Center Phase 2 Improvements Project. So the council, we have a Phase 1 Improvements Project that's being primarily funded by the CDBG grant we received from the county. That has a timing deadline of June 30th, 2023. Last October, the city received $425,000 from the county of ARPA funds that the county is giving the city. At the last meeting, the City Council appropriated some of that to backfill the funding gap for the Phase 1 project of the FRC project. The rest of that, Community Services and Public Works are using for what we're calling a Phase 2 project. We just broke these up between Phase 1 and Phase 2, since Phase 1 has to be spent and done by June 30th, 2023. We have a little bit more time on the spending of the pass-through of the county ARPA funds. And that completes my presentation on those adjustments. Going to the last slide, we have three recommendations tonight. Find that this item is not subject to CEQA, to approve all the budget adjustments as summarized on attachment A. And then we kind of started off the presentation already talking about the payment to Continental Computers for the blue light camera program. We need to have you ratify that because it does exceed the city manager's purchasing power. We had to make that payment a couple weeks ago to participate in the program. So it was a time was of the essence situation. That completes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any other questions you have.
Are the camera, do we need to keep the cameras?
Yes, they're on.
They're right there. Any questions, guys? Okay, so we need to do 1, 2, and 3. Is there a motion? Madam Clerk, call the roll.
We have a motion by Councilmember Taylor, a second by Councilmember Warren. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. Recommended actions 1 are passed.
At this time, we're going to go to oral communications for the public. At this time, members of the public may address us on any subject jurisdiction or within our jurisdiction. No action can be taken on non-agenda items, limited to 3 minutes. Anybody request to speak?
Dear Mayor, we have none.
Anybody online?
We have none as well.
No correspondence?
No, sir, we have none.
I'll open and close public hearings. We have no written communication. Any mayor, chairman, council, agency, authority, initiated business. Okay, committee reports, council, agency, announcements.
So I had the great pleasure, along with Mayor Shaver and several key staff members, to attend the grand opening for the Spoon, which ended up replacing a Vietnamese restaurant right off the beach in Orangewood. And it was grand opening, I have to say, and I was thrilled to learn that the pastry chef there was recruited from the Venetian Hotel in Las Vegas, so a 5-star pastry chef in our city, providing desserts and drinks for our community. So that was an amazing event. I'm glad that more people will support them.
And a good time was had by one and all. Any other things going on that anybody would like to report on? Okay, good. I'll make an announcement. Our next food drive is going to be scheduled for this upcoming March the 18th. And I've toned it down a tad because I'm getting too old. but it's going to be, it was sorely missed last month. My phone rang off the hook endlessly, but it was just from the volunteers, not the people that were looking for a handout, so that was good. So I think we'll be in good shape. So I'll be talking to our staff to make sure everything's properly taken care of. Thank you. All right, we are now at council agency for a future meeting.
Before Hannah was here, we have talked about using the some California Edison land that was off the Gale. And the council at that time had approved it, and it never went anywhere. And when I followed up with our previous city manager, he said somebody had rented half of it for 6 months.
Jessica Fernandez. You know, the problem with that is they're in disarray right now with management and their government relations. Same thing with gas. They can't get anybody who wants to work. They're hiring all the people from our local agencies. They just snagged, who's with the League of California Cities?
No, not Tom.
I know who you're talking about.
Oh, my goodness. Our League of Cities rep?
Yes.
Tony, that's his name. Yeah. That's right.
They just snagged Tony. They got somebody from OCOG, and they're taking an HCCOC, and they're also now recruiting from local agency, like Pringle guys. So it's very interesting to see what's going on with them structurally.
So. Well, as we're talking about that, company, it's online, and they've been emailing around. I'm sure you can find it on their website too.
So why do they put hydrogen sulfide in your gas line?
So that you can smell gasoline.
Okay, you win. Okay, any other anything for a future meeting?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I would like to propose a resolution to declare support for the Iranian American community and condemning the violence perpetrated by the government of Iran against its people.
Okay, I think that was sent to our city clerk. You should have a copy of that request, right?
I have not seen.
I got it too. So, you already just forwarded it to and have to take care of that. Okay, no problem, Donald. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. I think we might want to do one for the. We can talk about it later, but not tonight, about the 101-year anniversary, because we did have the Ukrainian rally that was here at the city, too, just something to think about. Okay. Study session, future study session. Yes.
I would like to revisit the city's parking permit system. I think that would be a worthwhile look at.
I'll put you in charge of that one. You get what you ask for. I'll take care of you on that one. Okay. 12D. That's you.
Mr. Mayor, well, item 12D this evening is council-initiated item discussion regarding the creation of a safe zone for vending. At the February 14, 2023 City Council meeting, Mayor Shaver requested that this item be agendized for discussion. Mayor Shaver is requesting to discuss the creation of a safe zone for vending. As council knows, the process for this item is that when you initiate an item for a future council meeting or study session, it has to be heard by the City Council for discussion. If consensus is received, then we move forward with staff direction and proceeding with the staff report and research. So at this time, Mayor Shaver.
Yeah, I'm going to take a step back on 12D, and the reason for it, I'll be quite frank with you, is that I've been learning a lot. Actually, been on the street. One of the big issues right now is I think before we want to take a look at this for Stanton, we need to work more with our partner, the health department. The health department is just having a horrible time right now with this. It's become endemic or pandemic, wherever you want to do it, everywhere in Orange County. There is also, and I'll just be quite frank with you, it looks like there may be some ties to this with human trafficking, to where the people that are actually doing it are paying for their ability to be here in this country, which is very sad. I've had some experience with individuals on the street over the last 3 weeks with a thrill of discovery, to where maybe they're right about that. Also, in order for us to enforce our own ordinances that are guided by the state of California, we're going to have our sheriff deputies go with the health department, because they are not too comfortable doing it on their own anymore because of that possible coalition that's out there. Give me an example. Some of the equipment out there is thousands of dollars, and the vans are brand new, and the people that are working them are clueless to what's going on. They don't know where Stanton is. So before we go forward with this and waste our staff time, I'd like to find out where it's going on. And I think we'll be able to do that with just listening to the health department, working with the health department, and with our sheriff's department. We should be in good shape. Yes.
Santa Ana just ran 100 of them on 10. So we might want to talk to Santa Ana. And there's a bunch of pretty in-depth articles going on right now about that. So
Right now, I wouldn't even want to be considering it, but I will tell you, we do have some good news from our city manager. We just found out the city of Costa Mesa is welcoming all vendors with open arms. So if you bump into one, tell them that we can give them. You know, when people used to give them the passes to Stanton for our great homeless outreach program, well, we'll give the vendors a pass to Costa Mesa so that they can do business there. And, you know, one of the other things, too, you know, we have so many small restaurants in town. We have a grip of them. And it's not fair to them to pay $8,000 to $10,000 a month, paying for their employees, and struggling to have some guy set up a food booth on the sidewalk right by them and sell the product for one-third of the price. He's trying to be competitive. I think we do a disservice to the people that pay taxes, to the people that have business licenses, and those that are in the heart of our community. So that was another reason that really impacted me, was because of that too. So I'm gonna go ahead and withdraw that for now. And that being said, we'll move on to item 13, City Attorney.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I have no items.
Okay, by the way, you're worth every penny we paid you, just to tell you. I don't care what everybody says. Okay, City Manager.
I have two items this evening. First, I wanted to share with the council and the community that we will be hosting our March Talk on the Block at the Lampara Mobile Home Park, and that will be on Wednesday, March 22nd at 3 p.m. It will be noticed as a special meeting of the council, so that we can have as many councilors attend as they like, and we'll be coordinating with them to get flyers out to their residents, and Shirley, who is their park manager, has been wonderful to work. My second announcement is I'd like to formally introduce to the council our new community development director, Krista Landovasso. And so she started on Monday. So she's acclimating herself and getting familiar with all the projects. Pending the rain, she'll be walking some of our more prominent projects in the city as well once she gets time. And staff were great, and they had an opportunity to take her out to lunch at our famous Burmese restaurant. So she's quickly getting acquainted, and we're very happy to have her here.
Do you have your official Stanton pin yet? Okay, that's you, Donald. Downey's loss is our gain. Go Saxons. Okay. We're going to get a report tonight from the Sheriff's Department. And Steve, I want to let you know that he wasn't going to give his report tonight if I were wearing my jacket, even though I was really cold. So out of respect to him, don't get mad at me, I'm going to let our chief give his report tonight. Okay.
Thank you so much, Mr. Mayor. Okay, so I'll be covering the January statistical data for Stanton Police Services. Stant deputies responded to 1,255 calls for service. That was an average of 41 per day. When not being assigned calls for service, they observed 291 violations of law and acted on them appropriately with warning citations and also arrests. Deputies made 20 arrests, 9 felony bookings, 4 misdemeanor bookings, and 7 warrant arrests. They also issued 44 misdemeanor citations. Our motor deputy was extremely busy. He wrote 229 traffic citations in our high traffic areas, so he did a great job with that. In our gang unit, they arrested 2 documented gang members, so it's 2 for the year 2023. Stanton deputies also they handled a wide variety of calls. For the month of January, 2 homicides, there were 8 robberies, 17 violent assaults, 13 burglaries, 48 thefts, and 15 stolen vehicles, which is definitely up. Our Stanton investigators did a very busy month. They were given 140 total cases. That's a lot. Currently, there are 72 open cases, and they closed 68, which for 2 for 2 investigators, that's really, really good. Our special enforcement team, they were busy as well. They arrested 17. There were 8 felonies. So there were 9 misdemeanors, 8 citations. They wrote 8 for public nudity. They contacted 30 homeless, and they all declined services. They contacted 15 parolees, 30 probationers, 35 prostitutes, and they issued several citations. They also recovered 3 stolen vehicles. They seized 2 firearms, and they also seized 97 grams of methamphetamine. There was 162 grams of fentanyl, which is extremely dangerous. Their job performance, that's in a 12-hour day. So again, for the month of January, that was extremely high. Our homeless liaison officer position is going very well. We've selected a deputy. He's going to start as of right now. It's March 10th. So he'll be working Wednesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. To 8 p.m. So they'll also have the chance on Wednesdays and Thursdays, they'll work together. So it'll be still that camaraderie. Stuff that they're seeing on the first half of the week, they can do the second half of the week. And I think the biggest component for that, I know we spoke about it, was still our communication, I think, with Public Works, with code enforcement, with myself, with the city manager. I think the program's going really, really well. So our response times, priority 1 calls was 4 minutes and 8 seconds, priority 2's was 16 minutes and 55 seconds, and our priority 3 was 28:42. For 2022, Stanton Police Services had the quickest priority 1 response countywide. All the contract cities, we were actually the fastest. So I'm very happy about that statistic. I was able to say it in our briefing tonight, as well as yesterday. And like I said, that's not the priority 2's, but that's the high profile calls. Like I said, we are the fastest. So that's fantastic. For the community update, just want to thank the city staff for being great partners. I think I say this every meeting, our teamwork with everybody is fantastic. I get to brag about it all the time to the different contract cities, to several of the commanders who are my friends. I get to brag and they pretty much shoot me out of the offices, which is kind of fun. So like I said, on a side note, we are going to send in May our 2 homeless liaison officers to an advanced crisis intervention and some mental health training. It's the second week of May. They're both going to go to that, due to the fact that there's some changing things that we want them to see and to kind of have, just that advanced training. We're also looking at seeing if we can host some of that training so we can get all the deputies, kind of trained to that. So that's something that I'm currently working on, but like I said, we are going to send the 2 of them. We have 4 new deputy sheriffs that are starting training. 2 have already started. And then we have two starting March 10th. So that's really exciting news. And this last one is I'm not shocked at all, but I'm extremely happy. Two Stanton deputies and our Stanton investigator, they made the sergeant's list. They worked very hard, and it was a common theme to the board, you know, who I spoke to, that the calls that they handle here in Stanton is extremely high, and the experience, you know, they have, it's going to make them, you know, kind of that much better, you know, for that next generation of the Orange County Sheriff's Department. Both the deputies have been here over 5 years, and our one investigator, like I said, he's been here a year, and again, I'm extremely proud of them. It's a tough process. I know what they're going through, but it's, like I said, it's a big day for us. I think the last part is, over the last 2 months, we've had several operations here with our gang unit, with our NARC units, with our vice units, SET teams, DET teams. There were numerous arrests. There was, a big kind of push referencing the pimps and the, the human trafficking component of it. There were several arrests made. There were several firearms taken off the street. So just to kind of a shout out to our, to our units. And it was, like I said, I would say free of charge. It didn't cost overtime. It was just part of, the Sheriff's Department and people wanting to work in Stanton. So like I said, it was kind of a fun month. There was a lot of hard work. Like I said, I'm very proud of my staff. That concludes my presentation. I'll be open for any questions.
So we have two going for the additional training, correct?
Correct.
Would it behoove us to share those two deputies with our deputies that we have here to some degree? Would that help them?
Can you say that again?
What they're going to learn.
Yes.
If they then would have maybe pass that on to the deputies that we have here.
Yeah.
Maybe as an example, maybe some of the deputies that we have here could ride along with them, and that might be a way for them to get an idea of what,
So we had one of the, and so funny you said, Mr. Mayor, so we had one deputy riding today with Deputy Young, and it's interesting because we have about four or five that want to ride with him, and so that's kind of the part, almost like a teach back. So we're going to send them to the training. They're going to come back. They don't know this yet, so I'm saying it tonight. I get to go tell them tomorrow. They're going to be doing briefing trainings so that we can kind of see the stuff that they're seeing. And then, again, the goal is when these trainings do come up to start sending some other folks. But that's the beauty part about, I think, this, our new pilot program is that it's successful. And people, and again, there are ride-along opportunities on top of those that are coming out, from training. We can put them with them as well. So it's not just the deputies we have here, but it's those that want to come here, they can see that side as well. So it absolutely is going to help.
Yeah, that's a 180 from the way it used to be, by the way.
Yes, sir.
Just so you know. Yes, Derry.
Are we able to get a license on our homeless outreach?
Absolutely. No problem. I believe it is. I believe, I think with code enforcement as well, I think it's getting the word out there that we're not there to arrest. We're actually not. We're there to offer services. And that's something we talked about at the last meeting is we have a change of thought process for that position. And we're hoping, and which we are seeing that to the public is they're seeing that we're there to help, but that we are going to enforce the law. And I think that's a component that I think is the most successful is, look, and I think with Deputy Young, I think in particular, he's not up there, wanting to cite everybody, doesn't want to arrest everybody, he actually wants to work with code enforcement, wants to work with those, and wants to get them services, but at the same time, he's the type, and this, I think this program's the type that we are going to enforce the penal code, the vehicle code, the health and safety code. So I just drove down Beach Boulevard, like I said before, and I'll say it again, it's not even close to what it was 10 years ago. It's way better. I drove down Star Street today, just because, like I said, it's, I think the last time I drove down there, I actually got out and I went up to, you know, the address, you know, it was red tagged. So I just wanted to see if there was any kind of, you know, what it looked like. Like I said, the trees, there, it was the lighting, there was a lot better. And then I think the other component is the stories that I get from Deputy Young, where even if they don't have service, even if they don't want service, you know, they're talking to them. It's not just, okay, you know, here's the sheriff's department, it's time to arrest. They're actually talking to them, and that's a major win compared to what's happened, you know, I think before. So overall, I think the program is absolutely successful, but the key is the communication with the three-prong approach. Without that, I think it fails. So I think we're doing fantastic. Yes, sir.
We did have a three-alarm fire, which are increasing in the county as of late, and I had a chance to speak to the full board at the OCFA, thanking our 46 for the great job they did. It was the A shift, and so I just wanted Hannah just maybe say a couple of words about what took place that day. Also, we're going to have all the volunteers and our fire guys, and we're going to recognize them for a great job done there. Go ahead, you're on.
Thank you, Mayor. So OCFA, we're so grateful that their response time was so quick. There were no serious injuries. There was one report of smoke inhalation that after going to the hospital was cleared. And I got a great crash course into what services the Red Cross provides. I hadn't ever really had an experience with working with them. They were on scene. They were dealing with residents who were displaced either because the fires directly impacted their unit or because of the smoke and water damage, their utilities had to be turned off. So I believe they were there about 1 a.m., 2 a.m. And Scott Jensen from our yard called me at 6 a.m. and gave me a little extra time to sleep. And he notified me of what was happening. He was already at the city yard. He was ready and willing to do whatever service he needed. So then we worked with the Red Cross, and I learned that in an ideal situation, the city steps up and does care and reception for a 12-hour shift while Red Cross mobilizes the rest of their volunteers to start staffing their evening shift. So I want to thank, gosh, I hope I remember everybody. Immediately, all of our on-call staff from Saturday showed up. So Scott was there, Jorge was there, Damien was there, Vicky from Community Services was there, Zenya came in person to verify the facility was looking good. I remembered everyone. So they all showed up. They were all ready to stay and serve a shift. So we assembled the rooms appropriately as Red Cross approved. They left about 9 a.m. Damien went out and set up a continental breakfast for all of the residents who were there. And then throughout the day, he and Vicky took the first shift. So they checked everybody in, got their contact information, figured out what they needed that evening. Then Ann came in at about 1 p.m. and she worked the rest of the shift with Damien again. It provided lunch to all of the residents who needed it. And a big thank you to George Gratian with Friends of Families. He reached out to me and coordinated bringing in an amazing hot dinner. And he served that. And thank you to the Boys and Girls Club who opened up their kitchen because we had a 200-person surprise party here. And so we were able to not impact anybody's reservations. And he and his wife, and I believe they brought two high school volunteers, had a great hot meal prepared. Thank you to the county and the supervisor. Their office was in contact with me all day long, helped me get connections to the proper school district so we could open up a shelter site for the evening. Thank you to the Anaheim School District for graciously offering that, and just an amazing amount of teamwork that went into it. Lots of communication across city staff and the Red Cross and county stakeholders. To the mayor, who was on the phone with me almost all afternoon, also arranging for resources and assistance. And ultimately, at the end of the day, no one needed shelter. So I think that was good. And so people were able to find places to stay with friends and families and whatnot. And then over the course of the past week, it's been been, Xenia and her staff at the Family Resource Center have been actively working with the Red Cross. We hosted a four-hour meeting space on Monday, I believe, at the Red Cross, where this was last week. And they connected them with all the available resources. The Red Cross was able to make some modest financial offers. We helped, I know, one family get an infant car seat that they had lost in the fire through our FRC resources. So just an amazing amount of collaboration and cooperation. And I was just so impressed by everybody's selflessness and willingness to step up and do the right thing. So just really grateful to be part of the Scanton team. And thank you. And I hope I remembered everybody. Thank you to everybody who participated in that.
Anyway, Chief, again, thank the fire for a great job. And we were also assisted with our Sheriff's Department being there, too. So and Jim and his crew, it was just a team effort. So I was very impressed. You know, sometimes you're not prepared for the little ones when you worry about the big one. So I think we can have just about anything now. So good if you let everybody know.
And thank you to Mike Aikman.
Is there any other business before the council?
Well, we're congratulating people. The day after the fire, two cars were street racing on Beach Boulevard, and one went out of control and ran into the fire hydrant on the south side of Home Depot. And our poor public works guys, in freezing cold weather, had to go and try to clamp down a 50-foot water geyser from the water hydrant. And I took my heart went out to them. I mean, just what a big deal. So anyway, thank you to the Public Works for doing that, our fire for doing that. That was a monumental task as well the day after that huge fire.
Anything else? Okay, everybody go home safe and get ready for the rain.